Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Well, it's the run to the checkered flag for the final time in the 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Jeremy Shaw, Johnny Morlam, and me, John Hindorf, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam is our eyes, ears, and everything else in the pit lane. Our legs, feet, and everything. And she's clocked up a few miles this evening.
And she's doing a phenomenal job as well, I have to say, Shea.
Absolutely.
You're doing such a good job.
Powered by VP Racing Fuel. So, the battle for the lead. Whelan Cadillac coming down the hill to turn 12.
Yeah, he's managed to stretch that gap out a little bit, John, using the traffic, and his tyres will now be up to temperature, so it's going to be a straight sort of fight with this ebbing and flowing with traffic, I should imagine. Jeremy's right, though. The next round of pit stops, I suspect, if Tinknell's going to have to really keep his head down and not even think so much about trying to take the lead off Nasser, but just keep close to him, keep as big a gap as he can behind him to the 60 car, so in the next round of pit stop he doesn't fall back behind them and he can keep second place.
Renger van der Zander, unwittingly perhaps, is doing their Cadillac teammates, in inverted commas, the 31 Whelan car, a bit of a solid here, because he's still got the 55 car, the Mazda behind it.
That was a nightmare for Harry.
Yeah.
Could really do without that.
Changing lead for GTD. Plus. Down to turn 10. Ross Gunn goes through and takes Lawrence Vanthoor and immediately starts to pull away. Hartner Racing then, and Aston Martin back in the lead of GTD with 57 and a half minutes to go. Jeremy Shaw.
Wow. Felipe Nasser, by the way, his last lap was 1:09.6. 6-7, so just a couple of tenths away from his fastest lap of the race. He is taking full advantage of the fact that Harry Tinknell got held up in a little bit of traffic right there.
And that's what it's going to be. You've got to take the opportunities when they come.
Yeah, and I think Felipe Nasser on a set of hot tyres, ready to go
hard
with
to
a grip. I can't see anyone overtaking him. Unless he gets really badly balked in traffic or he gets really unlucky with traffic.
Here's a question. We've got one more pit stop to come. The Mazda, it's pretty much a full pit stop and a run to the line. The other two cars in the fight, the 31 Whelan Cadillac and the 60 Helio Castroneves, the MSR Acura, probably slightly less than a full fuel fill. Do you change tyres?
I don't know, because I don't know what the performance advantage is. I mean, you're seeing Felipe Nasser now. I believe he took tyres at the last stop. He got them up to temperature. The brand new tyres, for maybe a lap, they're going to be slightly slipperier than the scrubs. But then after that, do you get that real advantage? It just plays out. And it really is. You're giving one hand, taking away with the other. So I don't have that information, but you can bet that the teams all do. So they'll be making a call on that.
Jeremy Shaw, when does the window open for the last stop for these DPIs? Around about 40 minutes, just under?
Yes.
40 minutes to go. All right. So that's what we're gonna do. We'll know, because they'll all jump.
You think they'll all jump?
Yeah. I would say almost certainly will take on fresh tyres, if they have some.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, I think they'll all go as soon as the window opens, because you can't afford to get caught if there's a safety car.
Yeah.
So we'll know when it's open. Nasser with 3.4 seconds. He is putting in some phenomenal laps. Getting down towards final pit stop time for the GTDs. They go quite long in the race. And the third place, number 12, Zach Veach driven Lexus, is in the pit lane. Shea Adam is watching the pit stop. This, I think, she'll be their final stop. Shea Adam.
Fuel and tires only for the Lexus. Oh, and a windshield tear off as well for Zach Veach, leaving him aboard the car, and it is triggering a slew of other stops. The Wright Motorsport guys are up on the wall for the 16 Porsche, and the Heart of Racing crew is watching in eager anticipation. So I believe the pit lane's about to get busy one last time in 2021.
Yeah, the GTDs are just about there as far as their pit stops are concerned, I think they can go 54, 55 minutes. It's what we've been seeing. Cool of the night, down to just 46 Fahrenheit on the track, 45 in the air. That's pretty much what we were forecast earlier on. That's well down into single digits in Celsius. This is a chilly evening now. The engines will like it. The pit crew standing around, blowing on their hands for the last pit stops in DPI will not. This is not the time to have a fumble of a wheel nut. Ricky Taylor, Jeremy Shaw in the Cunningham Minolta number 10 Acura is right there, down to 7 degrees Celsius. Ooh, chilly. Right there now as Elio Castroneves is in the pit. Castroneves, the 60 car, in the pit lane. 54 minutes to go, Jeremy. That's too early. They can't get to the end from here.
I don't think so. No.
Well, they can't go as far as a GT car. Well, that's for sure.
No, so. And then
GT cars are only just pitting, aren't they, Jeremy?
The interesting thing about this, perhaps, is Acura is looking at the big picture here. Ricky Taylor certainly did not want to get caught up behind Elio Castroneves. He caught him up. He needs to get past him because he's still chasing that championship. He's got to catch him. But they cannot afford to lose any time at all getting past other cars. So that, I doubt it. But I think Castroneves would have been instructed to let Taylor go in any case.
And we did see Acura changing, asking teams to change positions earlier in the season as well. I seem to remember discussing on Michelin post-race tech, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, championship is a big thing. And it's the battle between the number 10 of Ricky Taylor and the 31 that leads the race at the moment. Basically, as it stands now, whichever one of those two finishes higher in the final standings will take the season championship. Fuel only for the 23 Aston in and out of the pit lane for Ross Gunn. Stays aboard, so that tells you then.
60 cars still in the pits, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that was a problem. They wouldn't.
Shea Adams there. Shea, this is not a standard pit stop then.
Nope, they are looking in the left under tray of this car. It looks like the floor is damaged behind the left front wheel. They have done the tire change on this car, but it was not expected to come in. Jeremy is completely right. It is too long to go for a DPI, but they have flashlights out now, and they are talking about dropping the car and seeing if anything is hanging down at this stage. Not good. This car is now officially out of contention.
Yeah, don't disagree, Shea. Shea Adam on the spot with our VP Racing Fuel pit report. Try and get a chat with somebody down there as we move into the last 50 minutes in around about 60 seconds time. Shea close enough to be able to wield a spanner if necessary. Oh, that Shea, that car is being somewhat recalcitrant in pulling away. Difficulty for Elio Castroneves to get that car moving again, Shiana.
Yeah, there was, but there was also some confusion as to where he was going, and he is making the hard right turn. That car is back to the garage.
Ah, oh, that is cruel look for the SiriusXM AutoNation. MSR Acura and been in contention all day has been a factor, but now back behind the wall, and their hopes have been dashed in the cruelest way. Johnny Morland, Hugh Chamberlain, doyen of endurance racing, always used to say about endurance racing, particularly Le Mans, well, if it's going to pack up, he used a more colourful word than that, hope it does that before the pubs shut on Saturday night. Yeah. Don't want it to be going into the last hour before it, you know, what's itself.
And that's right, and talking of Hugh Chamberlain, that's exactly what happened. I drove a Daihatsu Sherrard in a Wilhard 24 Hours with Hugh and Will Hoy, God rest his soul, way back in the day. We had an engine problem within 40 minutes of the start. The head gasket blew. We spent an hour or so changing it, and then we drove that thing flat out for 23 hours and a half an hour. It's great fun, but yeah, to have it a mistake that early in the race was absolutely, at least give us a chance to get back in and go out.
Right. Battle for the lead now, down towards turn 10. Not sure what's happened to Felipe Nasr, but he's backed up towards the charging Harry Tinknell, and it's now only a car's length.
Went very, very defensive there, John. There's Felipe Nasr in the 31 into 10A. And I couldn't see any traffic there that was really pulling that in. I think that's just Harry catching him here.
Maybe a mistake coming out of turn 7.
Might have been, and he's flashing. That's the thing, he's flashing his lights behind him, just trying to put him off.
Jeremy?
The last two laps, all of a sudden, his previous laps were a 10.09, a 10.56. The last two laps were 13.82, and this last one a 13.0. I think it was traffic.
Down towards turn 6, passing the Audi, one of the GT3 Audis, and this is the battle for the lead. It could potentially have championship implications as well. In fairness, Nasr and Whelan don't have to win the race, they have to beat the number 10 for the championship. But what it does is puts them a little bit closer and a little bit more in reach of Ricky Taylor and the Konica Minolta Acura in third position. But remember what the guys were saying at Mazda earlier on. They don't care about the championship. They want to win the race. Meantime, the car in front really cares about the championship. And if you get alongside it, how hard is Nasr going to defend? Certainly, there was an issue. He lost those 3-4 seconds in the blink of an eye in those last couple of laps. And Tinknell now has got the pressure back on again. Jeremy Shaw.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. What a fantastic mud race this is. Of course, Felipe Nasr, he won this race with Pipo Durrani a couple of years ago in 2019. He wants to get another one, but the same token, the championship really is the number one goal for that number 31 Whelan Engineering team.
Johnny Morland, this is tight. This is nail-biting. Ollie Jarvis will be to bury in the pit lane at the moment. He's done his bit. There's nothing more he can do other than sit on the wall. He'd be listening into the communications. Thankless task to be out of the car at this stage.
Yeah, him and Jonathan Bomarito, who also did a phenomenal job earlier in his stints. Obviously, he knows the car very well from last year. But it looks to me like I think maybe that was traffic, because Felipe Nasr now seems to be able to stretch away, not by a lot, but a little bit now that they're both running in clear air, but I think that Harry Tinknell's definitely got the pace to sort of hang with him, and as it yo-yos with the traffic, there could still be an opportunity.
Don't forget, coming up after the checkered flag, it ends the race, but it only starts the conversation. We'll get some interviews from Shea in the...
I noticed there was a downshift there. Harry Tinknell went into one and literally went for a downshift, so obviously beginning to work the tyres quite hard there, and just noticed that, pull for a downshift to try and get a better punch off the corner.
Michelin post-race tech to come. Hashtag Michelin PRT. What a finish to this race. And it's not over yet. Still 46 minutes to go in and out for the leading GT Le Mans car. Matthew Jaminet, I think, has stayed at the wheel of that car. Yes, he has. Kevin Estra's gone through into second position. But the 97 had gone very, very long last time around. And Tandy's right with Kevin Estra for second position as the 79 is getting up to pace. He's got cover behind, though, from his teammate, the 97. And then it's the Corvette. That's going to be a barnstormer between the top three. They've got about a minute or so ahead of the BMW in fourth position. So three cars for the top three places in GTLM. But which way round will it be? And at the front of the field, it's back down to just a second again as Tinknell's working the traffic. He's right there, flashing his lights. The car just ahead of him is the leader of the race as he goes over the top. Really, really tight margins here.
Look at all that rubber offline there as you drop down through the S's.
You cannot go offline there. That is a one groove track now, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you can see that with the lights. It's just picking it up, and as you drive through those cars, if you go a little bit off, and the trouble with the traffic here, John, as we're seeing with so much ebbing and flowing, is you have to work the traffic, and that involves going offline to pass them, and the rubber offline is just huge.
Marvellous stuff. 10 seconds between first and second in LMP2. PRO Matheson Motorsport. Tristan Yunus being plugged back in to the second place, number 11, Wynn Autosport car. Let's see if he can catch Mikkel Jensen and try and put some pressure on there. Gabby Aubrey in third position is another 10 seconds further back. LMP3, 47 seconds the gap between Garrett Grist leading for JR3, Junior 3 Racing, and the Riley Motorsports number 74. Driving that car at the moment is Felipe Fraga. Felipe, no slouch behind the wheel. See if he can get that gap down. We've talked about GT Le Mans, GTD, 45 seconds now. Vanto ahead of Ross Gunn, but Gunn, I think, has made his last pit stop. So that may yet go the other way. How far can Pfaff go into this race? They've made one fewer pit stops than the car, the 23 Aston right behind him. Allegra Motorsports right in front of Harry Tinknell as he comes out to turn number 7. Didn't hold him up too much coming out of there.
When you're going into turn 6s and 7 on this and you've got GT cars in front of you, especially with the LMGTs, actually they're going to be mechanically higher levels in grip than you are. So actually you don't lose that much time through 7. And you saw Harry there behind. He was just waiting, letting the 7 take his line. He also took his line. That's minimising. He lost a little bit of time. If he dive-bombed him, he'd have lost 2 or 3 times the amount of lap time. So very clever driving from Harry there.
Again, our Porsche keys to the race. Decisions, decisions. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about there. You're driving a car on the ragged edge of adhesion. You're trying to steer with the leader ahead. And then you've got to try and work out what is the best way to get past that car in front, that car in front of that, without losing the time and letting the leader get away.
And you're looking ahead all the time. You're not just looking at the car in front, but you're looking beyond that to the cars that are coming up in front of him, trying to judge where you're going to catch traffic, trying to judge where the car in front is going to catch traffic. And it's just a constant evaluation of what's going on in front.
Looking forward to next season? Yes, of course we are. With some new teams, some new cars, some additional cars for established teams, but we're not finished with this yet. 42 and a half minutes to go before we head to the podiums and to Michelin Post Race Tech. Hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio. Let's have your comments. What have you thought about this race and indeed this 2021 IMSA WeatherTech season?
Harry got a bit squirrely into 10A and B there. Pushing quite hard, just lost the rear ever so slightly on a downshift there on the brakes. Just had to correct and get out of the throttle. That cost him about half a second.
Tristan Nunes has pitted from second position. That'll be the last pit stop for the Win Autosport number 11 LMP2. But that has cost him I think he's dropped a lap. Yes, he has. He's dropped off the lead lap. But surely Mikkel Jensen still has to make his last stop in the 52. Gabby Aubrey in second place now for Tower. Those three have been battling all race long. Sad sight of the number 60 Acura being pushed away behind the scenes. That car went behind the wall. Now, is that car coming back?
Yes.
To get back on the track? Yes, it is. Heading out towards pit in. You've got to come back into the pit lane. You can't just rejoin. And you have to go to your pit stall and stop before you go out. That's the sort of things you've got to remember.
And that's what I love about racing in America, is you literally come out the back of your truck, you turn sharp left, there's people around everything, and you drive through a crowd of mechanics and people just to the end, turn right into pit lane, and then you're on your way.
Yeah. Well, whatever was ailing that car has been fixed.
Access all areas. For spectators in these races, it's incredible.
Back on to, wow, big slide from the number 60, almost scattering the IMSA marshals. Now he'll have to stop at his pit lane, at his pit box here. Can't drive back out onto the track. It's going a very long way down. Where is the pit box? I think he's missed the pit box. Shit, Adam. It's my understanding that coming out from back from behind the wall, you've got to at least pause in your pit stop. Is that not right? In your pit stall?
Nope, you can go straight out.
You can go straight out.
Okay. Yeah, I think you...
Okay, fine. Thank you, Shay. So that should be okay.
So we must be getting close now, Jeremy, to the Mazda 55 pitting, would you not think?
Yeah, 40 minutes we said, Jeremy, didn't we, for... the DPIs. Yes.
Another lap or two and he'll have to come in to take on his final service of the day. Not going to come in this time around, so I think he'll probably be in next time, or at the most probably the lap after that. And he's going to take a longer pit stop than it is the number 31 car.
And everyone will be pitting at that point, I guess, because they can get to the end.
And as soon as the Mazda comes in, everybody else will have to jump. Just
to try and do two more laps, I think.
Right. Dangerous game. The amount of fuel to get to the end is finite. It's not as if by going further you're going to need less fuel. The amount of fuel that all the cars need to get to the end now is already set from earlier in the race. But
and judging by how squirrely it's getting for Harry Tinknell every time he tries to get the traction down coming out of the corners, they're definitely going to be taking tyres, I reckon, at this stop.
Yeah, and that's the big gamble, isn't it? That really is the big gamble.
Well, do you go for track position, but then they're doing it all together, so it's not really track position, is it? In the days when you had to separate the two out, but they do everything together, so you're just limited by your fuel anyway. So I suspect that means that in most cases it's better to take tyres, regardless of tyre warm-up issues.
I wonder if
rears only?
Yeah, rears only. Two tyres stop.
For the Mazda? No. It needs a full tank of fuel. They might as well put on all fresh tyres.
I was thinking for the tyre warm-up, Jeremy. Yeah. You know, just lose a bit less time on the outlap, but then maybe the fronts are rooted.
It'll be interesting to see what the Cunningham and Alta car does, because they're 10 seconds behind and they've got to get ahead of the 31 car to win the championship. They've got to get ahead of that Cadillac. That to me, might be the car that does something a bit funky on the final stop, Jeremy. And Wayne Taylor is not above doing something different. He understands if you do the same as everybody else, you're going to get the same result. And we've seen him before do some different strategies, and it's paid dividends for him in the championships in the past.
Indeed, and for that number 10 car in the third position, the gap now to the first two is 8.5 seconds. Only 7 or 8 laps ago, it was around about 13 or 14. So he's certainly he's got a little bit closer. But he's not close enough right now. We reckon he lost about 10 seconds, didn't we, with that spin?
Oh, 31 cars come in. 31 car is in first, so they've jumped first. I think the Mazda's followed it in. Yes, it has. So Nasser and Tinknell both in at the same time. So it's 37 minutes, as Jeremy said, on the nosy. So this is last pit stop time. Shea Adam fires up the mic for the VP Racing Fuel pit report as the two leading prototypes go through. The Cunningham and Alta Acura has stayed out. Ricky Taylor has stayed out. Shea Adam, you've got first and second.
For Wayland Engineering, they are doing the rear tires only, it looks like. They don't normally change the rears first. For the Mazda, they did all four. We are waiting on the fuel for both cars at this point in the race. Which car is going to get moving first? Remember, the Cadillac came in leading the Mazda. Also in the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche. The first car away is the Cadillac. Mazda still sitting in its box, waiting on the longer fuel stop. That makes sense. It was out there longer. 31 seconds stationary in the box for the Mazda. Pfaff Motorsports doing four tires for Lawrence Vantor. He's going to have driven a lot of this race, particularly towards the end. And away he goes. 19 seconds in the box. That is fast for a GTD car.
Off for the 31 car. Off going down the S's on the exit. The car looked extremely unsettled. The Pfaff stop, by the way, that Shea was talking about there, really important, because that's their last stop, and the Aston Martin has already, I believe, made their last stop. So we have to see how that one works out. But Felipe Nasr, an uncharacteristic mistake for him. Kobayashi's gone through the lead. Ricky Taylor goes through in second. Here's Taylor onto the pit lane now. 6 seconds difference in the fuel fill time, because the Mazda had stopped earlier on its penultimate stop, but some of that time has disappeared between those two cars.
He lost a couple of seconds there, and I think that might have caught him out in the firms. He had more front grip than rear grip, and you saw he just turned in, lost the rear, had to straighten up, go straight across the grass, and then going through the S's again, you could see the rear just squirreling away, and I think maybe that just caught him out, not having changed all four, because he was obviously had much less rear grip than front grip.
Cross the line. Kamui Kobayashi leading the race. There goes the 31 into turn number one. And here comes Ricky Taylor. Has he got out in front of the Mazda? I think he has. Haven't seen the 55 of Harry Tinknell go through yet. Yes.
Oh,
and that's another car off. That is another car off at the same spot.
And he's and there's the Mazda.
There's the Mazda going through.
And that is what we were talking about. That is the undercut.
That is absolutely crucial for the championship as well, for Ricky Taylor. He did beat the Mazda out. The Mazda, by the way, still we've still got that 0-1 Renger van der Zander out there as well. That car's out on fresh tyres, and that car will be struggling a little bit. Well, that was in front of the 0-1. Is that the 0-1 that's gone off, or was that Ricky Taylor?
No, that was Ricky Taylor.
Right.
Came out of the pit. You could see how little grip he had, and he brakes so early for two. So early, and he still ran wide. He only drops a little wheel on the dirt just beyond the curve. I mean, it cost him 6, 7, 8 tenths of a second, and that's not the reason that Harry Ticknell got past him, but it just shows you. Even here, you can see how early he's braking for 10A, 10B. Out of the throttle, wait. Feed the power in. He can't get the car completely straight. Wheel spinning over the top of the brow of the hill going into 12. I mean, I cannot tell you how little grip they've got right now. They're doing a great job just to keep it on the black stuff.
Temperature down to 6 Celsius on the track at the moment, and a little less than that in the air, about 5, 5.5. 33 minutes to go, and this one is far from finished. Absolutely fantastic stuff at the final race of the 2021 season. It is Matul Patilamon. We're live on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV across the US on XM202, 98.1 FM at the track, and RS2 on IMSAradio.com. If you're outside the US, live and free, as we have had every single race this year and for years past on the international streaming feed. No blocks. Outside of the US, at least, the rest of the world have no blocks and no breaks. Fully uninterrupted. And we'll be staying with this one until the checkered flag and beyond. Now, let's have a look at the last lap times.
So Felipe Nasr seems to have got into his groove, doesn't
he, Jeremy?
He has,
very quickly.
And he seems to have got his tyres down, he's got his balance back, and he's beginning to sort of do what he seems to have done this whole race long, just get his head down and just consistently lap very quickly.
Scary moment, Jeremy, there for the championship when Nasr went off coming out of the pits, but he has regained his composure. Harry Tinknell 6.3 seconds behind, which is pretty much, Jeremy, the extra time that they stood still for the fueling because they'd been into the pits a wee bit earlier. As in comes the erstwhile leader, Kamui Kobayashi. He'll dive in for his last pit stop, but Jeremy Shaw, we can't count anything out yet here. Strange things happen in the dark on the far side of race circuits in the last laps.
Don't they, Justin? The number 8 car also is pitting out of the 6th position. He was leading LMP2 at the time. The number 52 and the number 11 car have both made their final pit stops a little while ago.
No tyres out for Kamui Kobayashi. It will be VP Racing fuel only. He is rolling, and that's a longer stop than I expected to get the 30 minutes to the end, if I'm honest. So stalled when trying to leave the pits as well. Nasr's gone through. Tinknell's gone through. Ricky Taylor has gone through.
Just shows you, John, actually. Ricky Taylor dropped back from that overtake. He dropped back nearly 7 seconds while he was trying to warm his tyres up from Harry Tinknell in the Mazda 55 car. So it just shows you how much time they're losing doing tyre warm-up.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Having been, as you see it, right there. In fact, coming out in front of him, didn't he?
Yep.
Well, for those that remember Gerry Anderson and his brilliant animated programmes a very long time ago, I'm going to steal a line from the start of Stingray. Anything can happen in the next half hour, and it possibly will. 30 minutes to go of Motul Patilamon 2021. Bits somewhat fractured in the middle of this race. Great opening stanza, difficult second album, but now we're right back on with the greatest hits as we head towards the checkered flag. And Whelan Engineering, Felipe Nasr, has been an absolute superstar, Johnny Morlam.
That's right. No, he's driven beautifully. Having said that, he's the gap is coming down to 4.5 seconds now to the Mazda 55. He's keeping him honest, but there's one thing catching and another thing passing, and I do think that it's all going to boil down to just somebody tripping over someone in traffic. But by this point, these drivers are in such a rhythm now, they kind of know they've caught a car pretty much at every space on every corner in the last 10 hours, so they know exactly how to plan it to not get caught out and lose that momentum down the following straight.
Jeremy, go ahead.
Just say the 27th lead change then to put number 31 car back in front. Leads now by 4.8 seconds with half an hour remaining.
And that's already down to 4.2. Taylor confirmed in third position. That's not enough for the championship for Koenig and Minolta. Whelan Engineering Cadillac at the moment, if not one hand on the championship, or at least a couple of steps closer than their championship rivals. Then another 5 seconds back to Kamui Kobayashi, who only took fuel. So he has the benefit of warmer tyres, but his lap time, what was his lap time out there? It's a 1:12. He was in traffic 1:10.9 last time around for Harry Tinknell, a 12:2.
Yeah, that's traffic though.
That is traffic. What did number 31 car do for tyres?
Rears only.
Rears only, yeah. Jeremy, yeah. And yeah, that's well, why he got caught out. But I think we'll see how that works for him. But that was definitely that last lap was down to traffic. I noticed he had a lot of traffic through 6, 7 and also 10A.
Two tyre stop, rears only for Philippe Minazza in the Whelan Cadillac. All four brand new Michelin tyres for Mazda. Harry Tinknell has taken the pain in that opening few laps. But we know once that Mazda gets its tyres working, and particularly at the end of a stint, it is very good indeed. 28 minutes to go. This is not, by any stretch of the imagination, done and dusted. Wherever you are in the world, coming up to 15 minutes, 16 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we've got 27 and a half minutes to go. 15 minutes before 10 o'clock here at Braselton, Georgia. In Europe, it's a 3:45 on a Sunday morning. If you've stayed up all the way through, thank you for giving of your time. Well into late morning, in fact, early afternoon in parts of Australia, where I know there are plenty of people tuned in, watching and listening. And this has been, if not a classic, it's certainly been entertaining. The highlights reel is going to be interesting because we've had some...
It hasn't stopped being a highlight reel, well, has it, the entire race? If all we need now, apart from all the four-course yellows, obviously, but all we need now is another four-course yellow, bunch it all up, a restart. That's what we need, John. That's
no,
what
we let need. Them race, please. At this point, I want them to race. I want let the best team win. Big shunt characterised 30-odd minutes behind the safety car. Couple of big shunts. We had the Era Motorsport LMP car going off into the wall at turn 12 and ripping the whole of the left-hand side off. Dwight Merriman was fine. We've had a couple of comings together at the top of turn 2 and at turn 7 as well, but the big moment of the race in terms of accidents, fortunately nobody left with any injuries, although some very badly damaged cars. 7 GT cars in a big coming together on a restart, coming down the hill to turn 10, taking a lot of time to get involved.
Gaps down to 2.2 seconds for the lead.
Yeah.
Catching is one thing.
Passing is another.
Well, a couple of seconds again last time around.
Felipe Nasr's catching the traffic in all the wrong places on this stint for some reason.
Well, last time it was the Mazda
that didn't get the
rub of the green.
Yeah.
And these things sometimes balance each other out, sometimes they don't. Sport doesn't always work like that. It isn't fair. It is often said that being the leader is the worst thing because you catch the traffic first and then you wake up everybody else who's having their own battles. We're late in the race here. There's still battles going on. 15 seconds between PR1 Matheson Motorsport, Mikkel Jensen and Gabby Aubrey for first and second in LMP2. LMP3 down to 18 seconds now. Garrett Grist chasing down the number 74 Riley Motorsport car in the lead. GT Le Mans 10 seconds between the 97 Kevin Estre driven WeatherTech Porsche and the number 4, the remaining Corvette, Nick Tandy, trying to close that gap. And in GTD, it's 15 seconds between Ross Gunn in the Aston Martin. Can they make it to the end? They stopped at 54 minutes, remember, in the heart of racing, Aston Martin. No idea why I remembered that, but I did. And Lawrence Vanto is in second place there, and he's got a big gap back to Zach Veitch in the number 12, Lexus. So those are the top three there. That's your Mazda in-race update with 25 minutes to go. Under 3 seconds at the head of the field. And that time around, just a little bit of time taken back by Felipe Nasser. We're talking very fine margins. Couple of tenths here, half a tenth, maybe half a second there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ebbing and flowing in the traffic. I think if you just removed all the traffic from the track and let these two go at it, I suspect that actually there'd be nothing to choose between them.
Nasser seems to have a tiny advantage in clear air, but not as much as I thought. So I thought he would have. Harry is absolutely wringing the neck. Harry Tinknell wringing the neck of the 55. Last race, remember, for the Mazda in this configuration and with this team, the Multimatic team, taking over this season or so ago. And they had that wonderful summer of Mazda, didn't they, a couple of seasons ago when they won 3-4 races consecutively.
Well, they won their first and then they got on a roll, didn't they?
Yeah.
They won the next two or yeah. three in a row, I think.
Yeah, it was three in a row.
Yeah.
Tinknell, for a moment, is under 2 seconds behind. Down to turn 10 and the leaders caught traffic again right through the turn 10 complex, and it is that number 12, Zach Veach driven Lexus now. Where is the Mazda going to catch it?
Yeah,
with a bit of luck on the front straight, he might get through before turn one, and that will be a net gain.
100% he will, and that will have gained him a little bit of time as well. That gained him about 8 tenths.
Under a second and a half now, and we know how good that Mazda is through turn one. That may come down, is coming down on the micro sectors. Another tenth has disappeared.
Right now, 31 is catching down through the S's as well. This is going to really lose him time, and Harry's
had to
far
check
enough
up.
Bad that he's got a
Harry's
run at
right
him. He's
going
to have a run at him all the way down into six.
Or at turn five, yeah, through into turn six. And Tinknell was right there. It was good driving by Tinknell. Little bit of an early break from the leader because he's got one of the Porsche ahead.
Down
the inside,
inside
the seven. In the lead, changes. Harry Tinknell goes through. Harry Tinknell goes through with a marvellous opportunist manoeuvre. Now he's making the hole in the air for the 31 car as they drag past the second of the Porsches. That's the leading GT Le Mans car. Has to defend to the inside. Harry's got to stay to the left. And remember, the 31 car has to keep that position and stay on the track to win the championship. Doesn't need to win the race to win the championship, but has to finish the race. Tinknell, maybe that was the one shot. If it was, he was decisive. He took it like a hot knife through butter. He's through into the lead, and that's now advantage Mazda. How hard does Nasser need to push, want to push, and what are the team going to be telling him?
That was an absolutely beautiful move by Harry Tinknell in the 55 Mazda. There was a Porsche in front of a 31 car of Nasser going into 7. They also got held up a little bit at 6. It allowed Harry to get a run on him through 6. And you could see him think then, right, I'm just going to throw it down the inside and see if he turns in on me. And at that point, I think Felipe Nasser decided just to let him have it. Slipstreamed him down into 10A, but then Harry just covered the inside, brake, got it slowed down at the apex, accelerated away. I don't think Nasser will risk a move to get past Harry again, given the championship position. So that potentially could be the winning move.
There's
Heads up driving by Felipe Nasser, yes, on there to make sure he could, if he turned into the corner, there could have been contact. There could have been both off the road. So really heads up, really good thinking there. But look, Ricky Taylor is only about 5 seconds behind him.
So now, off at turn 12 for, I think that was Andy Lally. Shea, is that what you said in my ear?
Yes, it was. The Acura going off of the exit of turn 12 as a result of traffic. Left side into the barriers. He managed to regain composure and continue around. I'll wait by his pit box for when he comes in.
Well, in terms of decisive overtaking maneuvers that mean something, you can put that one right up there this year. All the way down the box, went down an extra gear change there as well, Harry, to punch out of turn number 7.
Absolutely. What he did there was he came down the inside, and then it's very difficult because you're coming in on a much tighter line. You've got to come down the inside, almost do a block pass, get it turned, get it going, and then he knew that Nasser couldn't get on the throttle. Then he used the Porsche very cleverly on the left there to box Felipe in and then moved over, and then he's got another GT car on the right-hand side, and Felipe actually had to ease out the throttle a little bit there because he had nowhere to go.
It was absolutely well. I was going to say a motocross block pass there.
And if Felipe turned in, I mean, I hear what Jeremy's saying, but actually, if Felipe turned in, Felipe was going to be one coming off Rom because he would have hit the side of Harry's car. There wouldn't have been any problem for Harry in that, but there might have been a big problem for Felipe, you know?
Absolutely right. And in fact, you could see on that replay that Nasser opened his hands in the middle of the corner. Once he realised number 55 car was there, he gave the 55 car room just in case the 55 car was going to run, maybe hit that inside curb and then potentially run into the 31 car. So Felipe Nasser made sure that wasn't going to happen.
Under 20 minutes to go. Mazda not in the championship fight, Jeremy. They I suppose, that can they still get third in the championship here this weekend? I'll let you look at that. The championship fight at the top of the DPI is between the number 30.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Mazda looking for third in the championship, to confirm third in the championship. The championship first and second are now second and third. Whelan Engineering and Konica Minolta Acura. There are 4 seconds between them, and Ricky Taylor now has to be set on stun. He did a 1:10.1 last time around, taking 0.8 of a second out of Felipe Nasser. Harry Tinknell not getting away massively, half a second, but I don't think that's a real issue unless he gets caught in traffic. Oh, no. Big flash of the light at turn 12, and that's going to cost him some time. Now, how hard does Felipe Nasser push? How much does he want this wind in the race? No, he's let him go.
Yeah, he's been very cautious there. Been very, very cautious. That Felipe Nasser there, he knew that he could have gone down the inside there. If he was fighting for the win, he'd have gone down the inside of that LMP car.
Yeah, that was smart driving again, Jeremy, from Felipe Nasser. It is great stuff. We are
threading the needle.
Oh, absolutely. When people ask about golden ages of sports car racing, I quite often say, well, right now, actually. I know we've been in a bit of a state of flux over the last few years, particularly at Le Mans and in the WEC, but IMSA has moved with the times, and it's just kept going, and Ricky Taylor is nearly right with them. 1 second behind this. This is the championship
battle. This is a championship battle, and this will go at it because Felipe's not going to open the door there like he did for Harry.
No.
And there's previous between these two, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there is.
In those cars, anyhow.
Yes, these two cars at this race from a few years ago, the 10 and the 31. It was a Cadillac back then. And it was Ricky Taylor and Pete Mudrani, wasn't it, who came together at turn six. Jeremy, remind everybody who's leading the championship at the moment. So if neither of these cars finished, who would be the champion?
Ricky Taylor and, it actually depend in which order they are finished, because whichever of them finishes ahead of the other, even if they both crash out, whoever finishes ahead of the other will win the championship. It's that tight.
Yeah, and with only, six cars still running, then there will be points. Okay, so if there is a coming together, then it depends who can crawl furthest down the track with the broken car.
And you know that Ricky Taylor is going to give it a go, because
he's got nothing to lose.
If they both go out of the race,
sitting behind for Ricky Taylor is not an option, Jeremy, is what you're saying, if he wants to win the championship. Right, okay. This one could get tasty. Harry Tinknell's done what he wanted to do, what Ollie Jarvis and Jay Bomb have been working towards, Jonathan Bomarito, and what the whole of the Multimatic Mazda Motorsport squad have wanted to do. 2 laps down earlier on in the race, but refused, nearly 3 laps down actually, refusing to give up. Larry Holt saying, we're going to keep digging. They have dug and dug and dug, and they are now leading the motor race with 15 and a half minutes to go. And Johnny Morlam said,
well, hang on, it's not there yet, so I'm not going to jinx it now, but at the end I'm going to remind everybody that's listening, including Oliver Jarvis, what I said about 4 hours ago.
In Geared We Trust. St. Jamor here.
But it's a
Let's
long,
bless them.
Long...
It's a long 15 minutes.
It's a long 15 minutes, so I don't want to say anything yet.
This battle behind is still worth watching, because this is the battle for the destination of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for 2021. For a moment, there's no cars between the red and white Whelen Cadillac and the blue and black Cunningham and Alta Acura. Down to turn 12. Ricky Taylor last time around, a couple of tenths quicker. But Harry Tinknell, the fastest of the leading cars, a 10-4 against a 10-8 and a 10-8. Nothing between Nasser and Taylor last time around. This is not just about second place in this race and one more championship spot. Then almost are coming together there between Taylor and one of the back markers, but he's got through.
Yeah, he got traffic quite badly there, Taylor, down into one, got held behind a prototype, and that cost him a little bit of time.
Championship on the line, the whole season championship. And Whelen Cadillac at the moment with the slight advantage, but it is only a slight advantage. It is, in terms of the championship, about a second and a half between winning and losing the championship after a full season of racing that started in Daytona in January. We've clocked up many thousands of racing miles this year, been to the high banks of Daytona, the bumps of Sebring, the streets of Long Beach, plus the great natural terrain, road circuits of Road America here at Road Atlanta, and right across the country, WeatherTech Raceway, Laguna Seca. It's the most varied set of driving conditions of any sports car championship in the world, and it's come down to the last 13 minutes and 1.5 seconds between the top two in the championship. Give the script writers a little bit of a raise, I think, Mr. Doonan. They've penned an absolute cracker here.
And driving on board there, you with the 31 car, Felipe Nasser, the front grip, I was just wondering whether not taking front tyres was maybe going to come back to haunt him in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes of this race, but it certainly looked like he was flat down through the S's there, didn't seem to be worrying, picking up too much understeer. So at the moment anyway, that balance looks to be okay for him.
Moni Elysium, hello Monica. Pacing in the living room now in the Pacific Northwest after that wonderful Tinknell pass for the lead. Come on, zoom, zoom. Nail biting. There'll be a lot of Mazda supporters in the US and further afield. They've had great engagement with their fans and with Mazda owners around the world whilst they've been in the IMSA Championship. They stay with their IMSA connections with the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Championship, which has been ridiculously entertaining this year. Well done to Gresham Wagner for winning that in the last race of the year after putting himself in the position to race by taking the penultimate race by being on the lock stops sideways and overtaking on the final corner. Harry's, that's the sort of excitement that we get from Mazda.
Harry's getting really held up by the wind car, the LMP2 car, I think it must be. It must be a P2 car holding him up that badly. And Nasser's cut right back up to him, got within 0.8 of a second behind him, and he's really struggling to get past there, flashing like mad.
That was a P3 car.
I mean, I can't believe it held him up that long, and he lost a ton of time there. Don't know why the P3 car just couldn't get out of the way of that.
Has gone through now and down towards turn 10. Now, of course, the chasing cars have to get through. Now, this is not what Nasser needs, because there's nothing between him and the third place car. Still hasn't got by. Jinx to the right, Jinx to the left, going through turn 12 and two wide in front of him, and now Nasser gets by, but that's cost him some time. But of course now Ricky Taylor has got to try and get by them. He's got past one of the cars. That was I think the number 40 LMP3, the fast MD machine. Yes, it was.
And he's got a GT car in front of him through the S's as well. That's going to absolutely
Magnus Racing
magnify the loss through there. He would have lost a second and a half just there.
Out of turn five.
He was only 1.1 seconds ahead of him. He was across the line. And what was I going to say? Forgotten.
Remember to breathe.
That LMP3 is also still ahead of Ricky Taylor, so that's going to really cost him as well. But it was really Harry that got hurt the most by that car.
Yeah.
Felipe Nasser managed to clear him quite quickly.
Michelin telling us track... Sorry, Joe, go ahead.
2.5 seconds then covered in the top three with 10 minutes remaining in this race. Around the outside, who's that off the road?
That's the Corvette. That's Tandy in the second place GT Le Mans car, and he's just lost second place to the second WeatherTech car. Is through goes Mathieu Jaminet, and he's trying to get into the pit lane. He's coming into the pit lane on the grass. So 10 minutes to go, and it's a 1-2 for WeatherTech. 97, the second car from the championship full season car, the 79. Might actually have a problem. I think he's got a flat left front.
Yeah, and if he wasn't speeding in the pit lane after coming in that way, I'll be surprised as well. So that might be a penalty.
It's going to be the BMW that will go through. Farfus will go through. So a puncture at the death for Nick Tandy has robbed him of a nailed-on second position. Oh, and a touch down at the bottom of the hill, and that was a touch between Tandy and the leader of the race. That's what gave them the puncture. Harry Tinknell down the inside of fellow Englishman and good mate Nick Tandy. They played darts together in the country pubs around the middle of England. So that was what put Tandy off. Now, is there damage on the Mazda?
I don't think so.
What was Nick Tandy thinking there?
I think what happened is, to be fair, Harry was moving over to try and get a little bit of a braking on the racing line, and I think that caught Nick out a little bit there. I don't think either of them was... I don't think that was deliberate at all from either side, just a bit of a racing incident. But I could see Harry moving back over to try and get a better run through 10A, and I think maybe that's when the contact came with Nick Tandy. But it would have been side by side, so from a point of view of Harry's car, the Mazda, it would have been in the middle of the car. There won't be any real damage for his car.
Meantime, the gap between second and third, it's back up to 2 seconds. That's the championship gap, 8.5 minutes to go. The computer says we have 6 laps to go. We should end around about lap 408. Oh, my goodness. Nowhere near the distance record, of course, after the intervention of the safety car into double figures this time around.
Oh, I know what I was going to say 2 laps ago. That was lap 400.
There you go. Thank you, Jeremy. Excellent.
Okay, Jerry.
Can you just...
go back to sleep.
If you can just say that again, we'll edit that in. Yes. Into the race archive. So if you can just say that nice and clean. Yes, Jeremy, what were you going to say?
400 laps completed now.
Excellent. That'll go. Bit of work for Curry to get that one into the race archive, but we'll make it work. Cross the line. Mazda still leading, 1.8 seconds between first and second, almost exactly the same gap between second and third. Tandy is out of the car, slams the door in disgust. I think there's damage there. Shea Adam is down by that car. Suspension damage on the front as well as that puncture. Shea on the number four Corvette. That's neither Corvette are going to finish in their last race of GT Le Mans.
Yep, you're completely right, John. Left front suspension damage for the 4 Corvette. I would go stick a mic under Mr. Tandy's nose. He still doesn't have his helmet off. Would you like me to wait for him?
That you might be waiting quite a long while, but I admire your optimism on that, Shea. Thank you. We'll listen out for you. At the front of the field, the gap went down to 0.5 seconds.
Oh, he got held so badly down through the S's, Harry Tinknell in the 55 Mazda. I mean, and Felipe Nasr literally pulled onto the back of his rear wing. He's just flashing his lights, desperately trying to tell everyone to get out of his way. But obviously, they've all got a right to be on the track. But right now, it's so difficult working this traffic. Again, it's now Harry's turn as the leader to be catching the traffic in all the wrong places.
Yeah. We've got a battle now in LMP2 because there's less than 4 seconds all of a sudden between those top two cars. It was 10 seconds about 7 or 8 laps ago, but number 8 car of Gabriel Aubry has closed right in on Mikkel Jensen.
6.5 minutes. Check that. 6 minutes, let's call it. And again,
that car in front of Harry is really going well, actually.
That's the third place car in LMP2. That's Tristan Nunes
in Wind Autosport. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for Harry. I'll be on the radio saying, get down to that team on the blower and please let me by. Just please let me by. We're fighting for the win here. Mm. He's not in a fight at the moment. There's nobody in front of him in his class. Just let him by. And it's a Mazda. Mm.
Shea Adam from the pit lane with a VP Racing Fuel pit report.
Backed out. That was
That's
good drive.
Exactly the wrong situation for Tristan Nunez, though, because his old team, Mazda Motorsport, his new team, Whelen Engineering.
Mm. Uh-huh.
He backed out. He backed out and let them both through there, Shay. He did a really good job there. That was really
very
well
fair.
Done.
Yeah, very fair indeed. Yeah. No shenanigans required. Great to see that Tristan's got that opportunity with Whelan next year. Pete Durrani on the pit wall absolutely wrapped his attention. The championship is they're standing hovering over picking up that championship trophy, but they just can't get to it at the moment because just a couple of paces behind them, barely under 2 seconds now. Ricky Taylor last time around 11.0, Philippe Nasr last time around 11.0, Harry Tinknell at 10.9 last time around. Harry has found pace in clear air. And the four-tyred decision from Lena Gaird and the team was absolutely right at the last stop.
The trouble is, though, he hasn't got clear air half the time. The traffic, again, just catching it in all the wrong places. The gap went down to 0.4 seconds. It's all going to be boiled down to traffic. I think Philippe Nasr's definitely got the pace, as does, I think, their pace is almost identical in clear air, but at the moment it's about traffic. And Harry's getting held up really badly through 12. He's going to get a massive run, Philippe Nasr, down into one.
Here comes Nasr. Drops to the inside. He's going down the inside. He has a little look, but then backs out of it. Nasr, remember, with his fingertips now on the championship trophy.
And now Philippe Nasr gets held behind the GT car going into two. Again, this is fantastic BMW. Ebb and flow.
That's the GT Le Mans BMW now in third place. Only three GT Le Mans cars are going to come to the line. And believe it or not, no Corvettes are going to come to the line at Petit Le Mans in their last outing in GT Le Mans in IMSA competition. It looks like WeatherTech are going to have both cars on the podium. Nasr right up on the curb at 7, going inside the Lexus where there was only half a Cadillac's width.
It looks like he is fighting for the win here, because in the past he would have waited for the GT car there and he was just dive bombing him in and really clobbered that inside curb.
Less than a second, just on a second now, between the Whelan car and the Konica Minolta car. They're battling for the championship. Tinknell's got away in context. He's got a breathing space here, 1.4 seconds. That can disappear in the blink of an eye through two, maybe only one corner if he gets caught behind a slower GT or slower prototype. 2 minutes and 50 seconds to go.
I reckon three more laps.
Three laps, yeah.
Three more laps. Three more attempts to not catch traffic down through the S's, because that is the worst place to catch traffic. And that's where we've seen gaps really coming in or moving out in terms of concertina effect between the leading three DPIs.
And Taylor closer than he's been for a long time, with fractionally over a second as they cross the line.
Alan Prosser has asked if... Johnny, you could we can have another klaxon of Borland predict, and can you announce Wimbledon winning the FA Cup for him, please?
It's not over yet.
It is not.
There's another two laps after this one, and anything can happen. The gaps are so tiny.
Derek McCord.
2 seconds in MP2.
Derek McCord stuck in a parking garage after being watching the Columbus Blue Line Jackets lose, but is cheering himself up by listening on XM202. Derek, sorry for your loss today, but this is an absolute cracker. Two to go across the line for Mazda, their final outing in DPI. The programme comes to an end at the checkered flag here. Is it going to be a fairy tale finish? They were two laps down, 5 miles off the lead, and Tinknell makes a very bold overtake round the outside of one of the LMP3 cars. This is going to really mess up Philippe Nasr in second place at turn five. He got a really bad run out of it. And now down towards turn six, Ricky Taylor can see the back of that car. This is as close as he's been for a very long time. Into seven, Johnny Morlam can barely watch alongside me here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. And there's going to be the white flag, another 2.5 miles next time around. There's more traffic to come. The hard point Porsche is ahead of them, and the right Porsche is ahead of them. And Harry Tinknell will meet those cars first of all. He hasn't caught them in turn 10 and 10A. Oh, this is absolutely brilliant.
And you saw Philippe Nasr there. You saw Philippe Nasr there weaving left to right, going down the straight towards 10A, trying to get that car out of the slipstream. And the white flag as they come over. This is the last lap.
LMP2 leaders right together as well. Just a second and a half between them. It's 6 seconds in the GTD battle and 33 seconds in LMP3. But the battle for the championship as well as the battle for the race. Harry Tinknell, 2 seconds. That's the biggest gap he's had at the line for as long as I can remember. Certainly as much as he's had in this last final half hour. Or in this final half hour or in this last half hour. The excitement levels are turned up to 11. Once again, IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship is delivering. And again, it's a touch from the second place car as he went past the right Porsche there. And he's weaving from side to side. Nasser trying to break the tour. One more opportunity for the Konica Minolta Acura. He's gone for it down the inside and they've hit. He's hit through the gravel for the number 10 car. It was a huge dive. That won't stand. That will not stand. He's going to redress the balance. Mazda win in their final race. And who comes across the line in second? It is Felipe Nasser who came home in second. Ricky Taylor had the good grace to lift off and give the position back.
I don't think he left off. I think he was had so much dirt on his tyres. He was just gathering himself and downshifting. And I think Felipe Nasser had the drive.
And in GT Le Mans, Porsche bookend the GT Le Mans season. Tandy, Pele and Ricard Leitz won the Rolex 24 in 2014. That was the first GTLM class race and Porsche ends the GTLM era at IMSA by finishing first and second with the two WeatherTech Porsches. It'll be Aston Martin who won the sprint championship last time out, who take the final top step of the podium in GT Daytona as Ross Gunn anchors the 23 vantage from Heart of Racing to the line. Johnny Morlam is literally shaking his head here with what we've witnessed there. The overtake from Harry Tinknell to take the lead of the race and then the audacious attempt. You've got to give him 10 out of 10 for trying. Ricky Taylor tried to come from a very long way back. Felipe Nasser had closed the door, bolted it, and put a sofa behind it to make sure that Ricky wasn't coming through. And still, somehow, we got through, but he couldn't get the car stopped. Shea Adam, down in the pit lane.
With Oliver Jarvis, Petit Le Mans winner. How good does that feel?
That is amazing. I mean, what a drive by Harry at the end there. We had a great car. We got a few issues early on, but three laps down to win it. What a way to end the, you know, the Mazda story. And what a way for myself, Jonathan, Harry and the whole team to finish it off. And, you know, it finally got that big win it deserves.
It sort of summarizes the whole program. Never stop believing, doesn't it?
Even three laps down. I mean, takes a bit of luck. We had a great race car. Huge thanks to everyone involved, you know, Moldy Matic, of course, everyone at Mazda. It's been a phenomenal effort. AER, we did it. There's not much else to say. I mean, we are over the moon. We're going to party hard tonight.
John, what were you asking?
Shea, can you just remind Ollie that Johnny predicted this and Ollie doubted him? Never doubt JMO.
Johnny Mullen predicted this and you doubted him. Never doubt JMO.
I know, I was just got out of the cars relaxing and I heard him say, you know, my money's on Mazda. And, you know, I'm fully aware of the commentator's curse. So I was like, cheers, Johnny. But I think it was just meant to be our day today. Congrats to the 31. I believe they won the championship. You know, they deserve that. Great team, really nice guys. Couldn't be happier for them. So, you know, perfect result all around.
Go get your champagne.
Thank you.
Classy stuff from Ollie Jarvis. There'll be words between those two later. Chelsea has stayed up as well. Congratulations, Chelsea. Your blokes just won Petit Le Mans birthday party earlier on today. Petit Le Mans win later on today. Be a present coming home for you, I reckon, when Ollie's coming back. An amazing finish to the championship with the two championship protagonists, Jeremy, coming together in turn 10 and across the gravel for Ricky Taylor. But couldn't hold on to it and threw back through for Felipe Nasser. Let's go to the GTD winners. Ian James, Heart of Racing. Ross Gunn brought the car home. What a season it's been for Heart of Racing Aston Martin Shea.
Oh, you guys won the sprint races, but Ian finally winning the endurance race. How good does this feel?
Oh, it's awesome. What a testimony to everybody that works on this team and the great effort they did. Roman and Ross were just amazing today, and nobody was going to beat us there at the end. Ross was just on fire.
Congratulations. Go get to the podium.
Oh, thanks. We're going to enjoy this one.
Thank you, Shea. Down there with the GT Daytona winners. And just to confirm, by the way, PR1 Matheson won in the LMP2 category by just 1.6 seconds. Gabby Aubrey chasing them back in the end. And it's Riley Motorsport who win LMP3. Let's grab more interviews from the winning teams. Shea, where are you now?
Zach Robichon, IMSA champion. Yet again, the sprint champion before, GTD champion. This one feels a bit different, doesn't it?
It does. I just want to start by, you know, saying my sorries to the Paul Miller guys. You know, we wanted to fight them to the end. They've been a class act all year, and that's not the way that we want to end the championship, but the reality is the team did a faultless job, and I'm just super proud to be here.
It really was an all-Canadian effort today to get you guys across the finish line, and Larry controlling himself very well at the end. Were you having to talk him down from fighting the Aston Martin?
No, we were pushing him. You know, we were like, at this point, well, might as well try and win the race, too. Yeah, I think I just got something stuck in my eye. I don't know what's going on here. So, but no, it's been pretty special. You know, for Lawrence, Lars, and myself, it's our last race with the team, too, so it's a little bittersweet. But, yeah, I couldn't be more proud of them.
Can't send it out any better way. Congrats.
Thank you very much.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Jeremy, do we have the... we had the... Right on the last lap there, the two WeatherTech Porsche swap positions. So the substantive full-season car takes Petit Le Mans for Mathieu Jaminet and Cooper McNeil. So he'll get to stand on the top step of the podium. Jeremy, can we confirm the Endurance Cup results as well? We pretty much wrapped that up, I think, at the 8-hour mark, but just have a quick run through that whilst I gather the rest of my thoughts together.
Yeah, indeed so. In the DPI category, Ricky Taylor, Philip Albuquerque and Alexander Rossi will win the Drivers' Michelin Endurance Cup in DPI. Konica Minolta Acura will win the Team Championship, and Acura, I think, will win actually, I need to figure that one out for sure. Come back to me. I'll come back to you on the manufacturer's one there. In LMP2, Ben Keating, Mikkel Jensen and Scott Huffaker for PR1 Matheson Motorsports number 52 car have clinched the LMP2 Michelin Endurance Cup. In LMP3, Garl Robinson and Scott Andrews, number 74 Riley Motorsports team, win that one. In GTLM, the number 4 Corvette, even with the DNF at the end, I think will win the Michelin Endurance Cup in GTLM. And in GTD, victory, I believe, for the number 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche.
Well, that means Patrick Long is endurance champion. Just before we go and get a chat with him with Shea, there is an incident that may affect LMP2. There is an incident under review between the car that crossed the line first, PR1 Matheson, and the number 8 of Gabby Aubrey. And it has indeed affected that. The PR1 car has had a drive-through time added post-race. So with 1.6 seconds behind, that means Tower Motorsport will take the LMP2 victory and... at least then demoted the PR1 Matheson car down into second place. That we didn't see as it was happening, but that must have gone on as they were having their scrap for the win of the race. Shea Adam with Pat Long.
Patrick, you go out a champion yet again. Michelin Endurance Cup, pretty good run.
Unbelievable. Congratulations to all the champions and the race winners, but for us to take home the Michelin Endurance Championship is a sweet icing for the finish to this cake. We executed today. It started off terribly this week and in this race, and the boys put their heads down. We talked to the 9 car, and we worked together as a Porsche family today. Congratulations to them for the championship, but we'll take this Endurance Championship. IMSA is just an unbelievable place to race and call home, and that's the one thing that differentiates this championship from any other domestic championship and most championships worldwide is Sebring, Petit Le Mans, and of course Daytona. throw in the 6 hours of the Glen, which is a hell of a racetrack. And yeah, I'm going to have a hell of a story to tell when I'm old and gray, which is not far off, about racing these racetracks with these world-class drivers and everybody in this paddock that gives so much to what this spectacle is.
You set the bar, my friend. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
He's had a sparkling career. Just to confirm, by the way, Jeremy has done the arithmetic. Acura will win the Michelin Endurance Cup manufacturer's title. We're going to take a breath, but don't go away if you're on RS2, because Michelin Post Race Tech comes up next. For now, we'll hand the PA and 98.1 at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta to Greg for the post-race formalities, with our great thanks to John Doonan and everybody at IMSA for the 2021 season. The promoters, the tracks, the teams, the drivers, and you, the fans, who've come back in your droves, particularly this weekend, to see what was a classic Motul Petit Le Mans. The countdown has started to 2022. It's not that far away, you know. We'll see you again on the other side of a quick breath and at the Raw before the Rolex 24 in January. Have a great holiday season, fabulous Christmas, and a happy and safe and successful start to 2022. On behalf of the IMSA radio team and everybody who's worked with us this year, particularly our technical support, we say goodbye for now. PRT next.
This programme is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.